Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
So we were roomies in a hotel room.
Yes, that. I mean, technically we were roomies in a hotel room, but not really.
I
was about to say,
I just dug.
Do
I
you
don't
really
know why
want to go in
myself?
Do you really want to go into that?
Why I wasn't in the room while you were in the room?
Or why Shira ditches you when you go on trips?
That is not fair.
It's okay. We don't have to go through our own personal, you know, therapy session.
Should we fight it out on air?
By the way, good news.
What?
I remade an appointment with my therapist. And when I called her, she was just like, Ryan, where have you been? And she like full on called me out being like, because I haven't been in a while. And so
yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm coming. I'll set up an appointment. And so, I feel like I went to the principal's office with my therapist today.
You're like, I thought the show I was doing was going to be like free therapy, but it seems like it's just making me want more therapy.
It's making me want to just jump.
Well, it's so funny because we were talking about doing a question of the day one day about like being judged by your doctor.
Yes.
And actually one day, or when I went to therapy a few years back, which I need to also get a therapy appointment.
For sure. I want you to do that immediately.
I appreciate it. You're looking out for me.
In a way.
But I felt like my therapist was judging me.
Yeah.
Like I was sharing stuff with her and she was just like, so this happens a lot. It's like, at what point are you going to make a change, Shira?
Yeah. See, that is like the most awkward thing that could happen. I mean, I've experienced it not only with therapists, but like also my doctor, like with the whole weight thing, but whatever.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God. I've had to switch doctors, but it's okay. We all make it through.
We do all make it through.
But this weekend was fun. We had a very good time. We got to catch up with some awesome people.
Yeah, we went to VidCon, which is, again, the Comic-Con for YouTube stars. Actually, Comic-Con's happening in San Diego.
Yes, it
right
is.
Now. So a lot of cons happening.
Yeah.
And
San Diego's busy because it was just San Diego Pride, too, this past weekend.
Yeah, so shout out to everyone in San Diego getting busy. And yeah, we were in Anaheim and we were partying, we were schmoozing. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, a lot of other personal stuff happened that we're not going to get into.
Not yet. Maybe when it's Hear Me Out Tuesday and Shira has to talk to the relationship therapist.
Exactly.
Girl, there's a lot to unpack
just
there.
Saying I'm definitely living my single life up.
Oh, you're still going into it.
No, I'm not. I just said I was capping
it. Oh, you're capping. Okay, I like a cap.
It's called a cap, a closure. Living my single life up with Shira Lazar. Okay, let's get into what's trending in the news, what you really want to hear, which is where we catch you up on the news, top of the hour, right here on Let's Go There. YouTubers Gigi Gorgeous and Nats Getty officially got married this weekend. And from the looks of their ceremony, it was a magical and glorious event. This is what they wrote in an emotional Instagram post. This is from Nats. The most magical moment of my life. I'm so blessed to be married to the most incredible woman in the world. Thank you, baby, for choosing me and making each day of my life such a blessing. I love you so incredibly much. Words will never describe. The two have been together since 2016, got engaged last year, although the firework-filled Paris proposal was epic in its own right, making us all want to, you know, have that at a certain point in our lives. Definitely a couple goals. Last weekend's ceremony was definitely one for the books, and it took place on the beach in Montecito, California.
I mean, I don't know who really is ever going to realistically have a wedding like theirs. I mean, Nat is a part of a super rich family, but it was beautiful. She looked beautiful, and I'm happy. You know, Gigi has gotten her fairy tale type of modern day twist on fairy tale kind of relationship
and life, which hopefully proves to a lot of people in the community, in the trans community, that like, wow, this is a dream. She lives a dream.
Well, I think for Gigi, she's really broken down so many kind of thought processes when it comes to what being trans is and who you're supposed to be attracted to and all these different things. So kudos to them. I mean, shout out. You got a shout out from Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom.
What
can you do to top your wedding?
Channel Q shouted you out too. There you go. Now, the Trump administration announced today it will move to end asylum protections for most Central American migrants in the government's latest major attempt to restrict the influx of migrant families coming to the U.S. So the new rule says asylum seekers at the southern border who pass through another country and do not seek asylum there will not be eligible for the protection in the U.S. This is a big deal. It means that migrants coming from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador cannot seek asylum if they didn't first do so in Mexico. Now, President Trump also made this decision, the Trump administration, without it being agreed to by Mexico. So that's like you're hoping this whole plan and strategy works without including the country.
Well,
that
Trump did that all the yeah. Trump did that since he started his campaign when he said Mexico was going to be building the wall on, you know, the border. So Trump doesn't, he just says things to get his people riled up. He doesn't really know what he's doing.
Yeah. So this is from the Homeland Security Secretary, Kevin McAleenan, who said until Congress can act, this interim rule will help reduce a major pull factor driving irregular migration to the United States and enable the DHS and DOJ to more quickly and efficiently process cases originating from the southern border, leading to fewer individuals transiting through Mexico on a dangerous journey. Now, over the weekend, Trump also told a progressive Democrat or all of the progressive Democrat congresswomen over Twitter to go back to the countries they came from. How he responded to reporters after this on what's trending in the news, and people are just calling it definitely a racist Twitter tirade and more. That's coming up right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
We are continuing with what's trending in the news right now. President Trump spoke to reporters after his controversial tweets were posted over the weekend, calling out Democratic congresswomen to, quote, go back to where they came from, even though most of his intended targets were born in America.
I mean, ridiculous. He has no clue.
Yeah, he also called on them to apologize and also reprimanded the party for defending them. Now, hashtag racist president is trending on social media. Here's what he had to say to reporters outside the White House.
Doesn't concern me because many people agree with me. And all I'm saying, they want to leave, they can leave. Now, it doesn't say leave forever. It says leave if you want. But what it says, what that says is if they're not happy with the United States, if they're doing nothing but criticizing us all the time, you see these people walking down criticizing the United States, we just hit the highest stock market in history. All of these incredible manufacturers that are in, these are great business people, they employ many people, and we have workers with us too. They're having the best year they've ever had. Can I say that? Is that a correct statement? So, and they're hiring more people than they've ever had, and more people are making a good living than they've ever had. We just hit 27,000 plus.
Okay, that was President Trump responding to these, what are being said are very racist tweets.
Is he responding or just rambling? Because I can't tell.
Yeah, and like saying that, the country's going well for this group of people, the Wall Street. What about all these other people that it's not working for?
That is like literally my argument every time he says something about those stocks. It's like, dude, no middle American person or lower class American is interested in the stocks. So all you're saying, and you're bluntly saying it to everyone, is all you care about are people that can afford that.
Also, these congresswomen he's calling out aren't just complaining. They actually are trying to implement policies and solutions. Just because he doesn't agree with them doesn't mean they don't mean anything. Now we've got Richard Fowler joining us, Fox News contributor and host of the Fowler Nation. Welcome back to the show. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Sharon. Ryan, how are you guys?
Absolutely wonderful.
So, I mean, he seemed to call out specifically four women. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Ayanna Pressley. And all of them, except one, are from out of the country. What are your thoughts on this continued narrative?
Well, listen, let me say this, and I think and let me be very clear for those folks listening. We are not calling out for those who are you know, making commentary against where our country's headed. So let's be very clear. We're not calling out America. We're just calling out this president, period.
Yeah,
correct.
And there's a distinction between the two. And the Constitution, in its First Amendment, gives us the right to do so. That is the ideal of dissent and the ideal of protest is uniquely American. But I digress. And what we found here was this. And this line of rhetoric, right? And so what you're going to hear from the president's supporters over the next few days, even though you can't, most Republicans have gone silent. They're all here in town, but they're all running from the cameras because they refuse to call this what it is. This line of rhetoric of go back to your country or go back to where you're from is a line that's often used against people of color. We have heard it so many times. And it's disheartening that the president would use it. It's even more disheartening that he would double down and then triple down on it. And it literally speaks to, it's a very un-American comment, because here's the truth. The truth is that people who immigrated to this country is what makes this country great. And I'll give you an example, right? I mean, my mother came to this country from Jamaica as a young woman, as a registered nurse, and she spent her entire life serving this country as a first responder.
Yeah.
And she had two sons who are now American, that she's an American. And to say that she should go back to her country, this is her country. And she served this country far longer than President Donald Trump did, for the record. So I think when he makes these type of comments, it's very disheartening. It's very hurtful. And I think it's very important that every American sees this for what it is.
Yeah.
Right, which is bigotry at its finest. And the fact that this attack was leveled against four women of color, three of whom are born in the United States, and they're just as much United States citizens as Donald Trump, speaks to the problem with this comment. And I think that is where, that's why there's so much outrage and disgust. And sadly, you don't see outrage and disgust from conservatives. And my friend Amanda Carpenter, who's a CNN contributor, I was talking to her earlier today, and she was on air, and she said, she said it clear, Republicans, seriously, grow a spine, get on Twitter, roll out of bed, get on Twitter and condemn this, because this is un-American.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to hang there, because, you know, there's something to be said that no conservatives or Republicans are even speaking up to this, and kind of just allowing it to be swept under the rug. And it really has you to think, what else? Like, how far is this going to go? Where are they going to draw the line where they say enough is enough? Do you think that line is even drawn?
Well, I mean, I don't think that line is drawn. And I think you can't look at this comment in a vacuum, because just earlier or late last week, we saw Mike Pence go to the border, go to McAllen, Texas, go to one of these detention centers where they're holding folks seeking asylum, and said, oh, everything looks fine here, even though, according to a report from my colleague Kevin Cork of Fox News, there was a stench when you walked in. There were 50 to 60 men per cage. People were laying on the floors with no blankets.
Right.
Is this America? And I say it once again, and I keep responding with the same refrain, because it's shocking to me. America, where is your shame?
Yeah, and even Pelosi said, this statement was very powerful, Make America Great Again has always been about making America white again. Of course, both Omar responded, but also AOC responded with something very powerful, saying, weak minds and leaders challenge loyalty to our country in order to avoid challenging and debating the country. Meanwhile, his response, Donald Trump continued to respond, saying the Dems were trying to distance themselves from the four progressives, but now they are forced to embrace them. That means they're endorsing socialism, hate of Israel and the USA, not good for the Democrats. what do you have to say, Richard?
This is, once again, this is an empty attack from this president. It's a straw man. And listen, we should ask this question, and I think it's important. If you know a Trump supporter, and listen, I have no problem with Trump supporters, but I am very unclear of what Make America Great Again means, so I always ask them, what does Make America Great Again mean? And if they say, oh, but to make our country better. Okay, no, but the key word, look it up in the dictionary, again means to repeat something, like it was already, you're doing something that's already been done before. So give me a date in which America was great so we can make it great again. One person was actually dumb enough to answer this question, and that was former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. And what she said was America was great in the 1950s. And my response to that was, so that was a time when black people were in jail. We had to sit at the back of the bus.
Segregation.
We had non-integrated schools. Lynchings were high. Gay people, you couldn't be gay, but God forbid that. Women had to get men to sign off on their credit card application, much less them to apply for a job. So if that's what Make America Great Again means, then this is what the president wants to do with this country. Just to be very clear, and I ask everybody who hears the sound of my voice, if you know a Trump supporter and they keep saying Make America Great Again, ask them what that means. Ask them to define it.
Well, on that note, Richard Fowler, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. You could find Richard on Fox News and the Fowler Nation.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, we're moving from what's trending in the news to top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea, Ryan?
All right, so coming up, Scarlett Johansson, honey, she is doubling down on her right to play any role she chooses. Now, is she just expressing her creative right, or is this another example of white privilege? We're spilling all the tea and so much more. That's coming up in 7 minutes.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
All right, we are back, honey, with what's the tea. tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day.
Yep.
Okay, so we have a lot to get into because ScarJo, Scarlett Johansson, the actress, or Johansson, whatever her name is. Honestly, she's probably like a black woman. She's a tree. She's a she's a rabbit. She's really anything she wants to be because she recently dropped out, of course, of playing a trans man in this film Rub and Tug last summer after the announcement of her casting was met with so much outcry from the trans community and, of course, allies. Well, in a recent interview with As If Magazine, Scarlett doubled down on her assertion that because she's an artist, she should be allowed to play any part that she likes. Now, although she has set, she has sent a statement kind of via a representative that quotes, saying that the quotes were taken out of context for quote unquote clickbait. But this is what she says. She says, as an actor, I should be allowed to play any person or any tree or any animal because that is my job and the requirements of my job. She says, I feel like if it's a trend in my business and it needs to happen for various social reasons, yet there are times it doesn't get, it does get uncomfortable when it affects the art because I feel art should be free of restrictions. Now, she continues on to say that her intent was mischaracterized and has clarified her meaning in a statement sent to the Advocate. So she says that this in an interview that was recently published has been edited for clickbait and is widely taken out of context. The question I was answering in my conversation with the contemporary artist. Now, here's the thing. She says, I recognize that in reality, there is a widespread discrepancy amongst my industry and the favors Caucasian cisgender actors. But she says that not every actor has been given the same opportunities and I have not, and I have that I have been privileged to. I don't know what I necessarily think of her statement, but I feel like she always continuously puts her foot in her mouth on talking about like roles that she should be allowed to play instead of like understanding the bigger picture here.
I mean, yes, totally. I feel like at this point, anything she says, unfortunately, will be put through this filter. There's a lot of people that criticize her.
Do you not think it's like legitimate criticism?
Yes, I think it's legitimate criticism. I see how she says any actor, if you look at like the art and acting in its purest form, it's this idea that anyone should be able to play anything. But the fact is we're in a place right now where if you allow that, then you're also cutting a lot of people out from opportunities that they never had the privilege of playing.
Right, because there's been a long history of
exactly.
people not being allowed
but
to play.
I don't
think there is, in my opinion, I see the other side, but I also think that I don't think that side is legitimate because we're not saying that same argument for trans people wanting to play cis characters. It's always cis characters should be allowed to play any character they choose because I'm an actor and it's the art. Trans characters also want to go out for cis characters, like cis hetero, like normative, like, you know, characters that are cisgendered, but they're not allowed to. They're only boxed in to play trans characters.
I think right now, so if she had said, I'm willing to step aside. Obviously, I want to, but like when everyone has equality, we should all be able to play everything. Is that what you?
I mean,
you'd be
I
open
just honestly,
to her saying that?
Well, I think she needs to do a little bit of work because I think at this point, she's for her to kind of have compared, you know, the issues that trans people have brought up to kind of like saying I want to play a tree in animals.
Yeah, that's a
bit
insensitive.
It was a terrible remark, and so I don't know where she goes from here. All I know is Black Widow was supposed to come out. I don't know what that looks like now, girl. Your bag might be stopped because you put your foot in your mouth. But we have so much more coming up with What's the Tea. Pink is clapping back at mom shamers over her kids running through a Holocaust memorial. Yikes. Don't go anywhere because we'll be right back. All right, we are back with What's the TR Entertainment Pop Culture Stories of the Day. Now, let's get into this next story where Pink is clapping back and has a message for mom shamers who commented on a pic of her kids running through the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin. So she shared this photo on Instagram that showed her two children with her husband, Carrie Hart, Willow, and Jameson, which is that weird that I was going to say Jameson's my favorite alcohol. Anyway, they're exploring like 8,600 square foot memorial, you know, of the Holocaust. Well, people really got offended by that because they were running through where all of the there's these huge concrete pieces where all the names are, and it basically is, you know, the memorial to all of the murdered Jews of Europe. And this is what she says in her caption. She says, "Berlin, I love you." And of course, she's currently on tour, her beautiful trauma world tour, and she continues to say, "And for all the comments, these two children children are in actuality Jewish, as am I, and the entirety of my mother's family. The very person who constructed this believed in children being children, and to me, this is a celebration of life after death. Please keep your hatred and judgment to yourself. Now, this was, of course, a response to everyone who shared opinions like, this is not definitely a hide-and-seek place, dear Pink, because they were, I guess they were just running around being kids. You know how kids are when they basically just start...
Yeah.
Running around, like, let's say we bought kids to the office and they just start running around. But this is different because I guess it's people were saying that they should have been a little bit more sensitive to the fact that, hey, you are in a memorial type of place. You should control your kids and you shouldn't allow them to just run everywhere. Like, have some respect.
I mean, if you've been to any of these memorials, whether it be outside, it's actually like very beautiful, and people, after you've been through these intense moments where you're seeing museums of really horrible, tragic stuff, there is this sense of life after death and a celebration. And, you know, and I would say if they weren't Jewish, unfortunately, I would judge them maybe a bit more, being like, how dare you? But like, they are Jewish. And I think whatever they're feeling in that moment that they want to go through, including their kids, give me a break. She captured a moment of her kids. And it's actually a beautiful moment of them running through this beautiful installation. I don't think that's bad.
I mean, to be honest, even if they weren't Jewish, I probably would not judge them, just because I'm tired of people feeling like they can police other people's children or police their parenting
styles.
It's like, it makes no sense to me. I honestly don't think it's okay. And I'm happy that, you know, Pink, you know, says something, because it's like, dude, why do people feel like they have the right to give their opinion when no one asks? Yeah, and I know that's social media.
Yeah, the policing thing. I was like referencing the Holocaust Memorial. Unfortunately, it's
has nothing to do with your comment.
if you know, there's been other people criticized for taking selfies in front of concentration camps, like peace signs or doing like stuff like that, that would be different than just like a moment in life that she captured of her kids in this space.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, like, come on, get over it, but also, you know, in that moment, like, let it be.
I mean, honestly, she's added hashtags before because this is not the first time where she's had to get her followers together, where she said, F the parenting police. If you feel like I'm following me, please go do it quickly. Opinions are like a-holes, so many a-holes. And so those are her hashtags. So, yeah, if you want to find out more in the pop culture realm of what We Are Channel Q is covering, head over to wearechannelq.com and make sure to follow us at We Are Channel Q.
So we've got What's Trending in the News coming up next, including a YouTube star in the UK who died from a scooter accident and might have you rethinking using those electric scooters. That's coming up right here on Let's Go There.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
And now it's time for What's Trending in the News, top of the hour. Accused child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein is willing to post bail as high as $100 million. His lawyer said that today. This happened as a prosecutor argued that the case against the very wealthy investor is already significantly stronger and getting stronger every single day. Before the accuser spoke, Assistant U.S. Attorney Alex Ross Miller said that a number of other witnesses contacted authorities after Epstein was recently indicted, and that prosecutors are trying to corroborate their allegations against him. So Ross Miller also revealed that investigators found in Epstein's $77 million Manhattan townhouse, this is what they found: a locked safe containing piles of cash and dozens of diamonds. What were those used for, I wonder?
I mean, it sounds like Ocean's 8 or something.
Yeah, right?
What?
Getting this story for a movie? As well as an expired passport dating to the 1980s from another country that has Epstein's photograph on it. This is really strange. Ross Miller also said that many, many photographs of young-looking girls were found in the safe, and that the prosecutors have identified at least one person among them who claims to be a victim of his.
You know, when this story came out, was he like living in Paris or something for a minute?
Well, he was traveling. He landed back in the U.S. from France when they got him.
Well, he has a house out there.
Yeah.
And the legal age of consent is 15. So that was probably I don't know, his own kind of weird fun house.
Convenience.
Of weird, yeah.
Yes. Now moving on to tragic YouTube star's death on an electric scooter. And that's definitely renewing safety concerns as scooter companies aggressively seek to expand their presence as, quote, alternative transportation. I mean, scooters do freak me out. They are dangerous. I mean, you've gotten hurt on a scooter before, even.
Oh, but I'm clumsy. I could get hurt just walking. But no, seriously, it is. They are very dangerous. They go very, very fast. And if you don't know how to, like, stop, like, I messed up my leg before.
That
and it can just be terrible.
Yeah, and you're riding on streets. You're not wearing a helmet. So there's a lot of issues here. Well, Emily Hartridge, a TV presenter who made videos about fitness and mental health, died after a scooter was hit. Her scooter was hit by a truck in London, apparently making her the first such fatality in Britain. The death comes amid scores of complaints about safety as scooter use rises by the millions in North America, Asia Pacific, and Europe. So some officials in the U.S. have actually been reluctant to allow e-scooters, citing safety to both the rider and the public, as we mentioned. Nashville Mayor David Briley said this in June, that he would recommend banning them after a 26-year-old resident died after a scooter accident. And by the way, the Nashville Fire Department had responded to 74 scooter-related injuries between January and April 2019. So it's something that's affecting a lot of cities. I have a friend whose boyfriend works in the ER, and he says he gets so many people coming in from those types of injuries as well. So just be safe out there. And we'll see if that continues as a major transportation, you know, use in the next few years. Now, Richie Torres, an out New York councilman, will officially announce his bid for Congress today. And he will face a colleague with a history of making homophobic remarks. Now, he's an openly gay member of Congress who is either Black or Latinx. The Victory Fund already endorsed him. And Torres is a Bronx councilman. In 2013, he became the youngest elected official on the New York City Council. And he said this, "I've struggled with depression. I grew in poverty. And yet here I am, the youngest elected official of the largest city in the country." So it'll be amazing to see what happens after that. And he definitely deserves it, considering the person he is going up against is not a good person. That was what's trending in the news. Top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. After this, the 6 warning signs your partner secretly can't stand you.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
Welcome back. Coming up in the next hour, remember, it's our question of the day. Should nudity at a beach be illegal, and where should the line be drawn? Inspired, of course, by this chick who was on a beach recently in a city right here in the U.S. of A. She was called out for being topless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's our question of the day. Should nudity at a beach be illegal, and where should the line be drawn? We already have people hitting us up on social media, but you can give us a call to let us know what you think. 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. Now we're moving into our next topic and story. And the question I have is, have you ever been in a relationship where your partner started making jokes and passive-aggressive comments towards you? I think we've all been there.
Oh my God, this is wild that we're even talking about this, because it's very true. I feel like I can be the one that can really be
I
make jokes a lot, and especially if I'm like over someone, I know how to like do like the fun little digs of like reading them, but it doesn't come off as like reading because they think I'm just being funny, but I'm just honestly like, I hate your guts.
So you're not doing it to tease?
It's very passive aggressive.
Okay, because it could go either way. You could do it when you don't like someone, or do it to flirt. That's a flirting thing.
Flirting thing for me, yeah, I do like it when you can have like the sparring partner. Like, I love that. Like, anybody that I want to be with, they have to be able to take a joke and be able to, like, also throw the jokes out. Like, I love a good sparring partner. But when it's someone that I really can't stand, they will, trust me, honey, you will know that I don't like you.
All right. Yeah. The side eye is real.
But I have gone through this even with my last partner. When towards the end there, it you start feeling those kind of the signs of like, oh, this is it.
Well, yeah, according to experts now, making jokes and passive aggressive comments are warning signs that your partner can't stand you. Pretty harsh, right? Like,
I mean,
maybe you thought it was just like
a little
personality trait.
It's true, though. It's like, also, this can go even far outside of partners. Like, you can, even like with family, it's like, you can really, just because they're family doesn't mean you gotta like them.
Well, yeah, it's like any relationship, right? So, guess what? If you have a relationship right now where that person's making jokes, and we're gonna get into the other things they might be doing, those could be warning signs that your partner resents you and your relationship is possibly over, basically.
So have you ever been through that?
Yeah. So, but I feel like I've been through the partners that actually wanted to marry me and have kids with me, but yet.
Oh, you're so wanted. Oh, my goodness.
No, but like, it was weird because they would be passive aggressive to me and poke fun at me and like. They would do things that they talk about, these warning signs, but these are people who said they wanted to marry me. That's kind of messes with your head.
Well, I guess, I think it's easy to, you, no shade, but I think it's very easy to poke fun at you. You
what?
Just have a, you have a very good.
You're saying I deserve it?
No, it's just easy to poke fun at you.
Why?
Because you're so nice and so bubbles and flowers and unicorns.
Not where, always. You've seen me cry. You
but,
have seen me.
But even through there, you're still crying unicorn tears where they're like, if it falls on the planet. Like climate change is cured.
That's beautiful.
It's one of those things where it's kind of disgusting how happy and nice you can be.
Yes.
And so it's just very easy to poke fun. So maybe they're poking fun at you because they really enjoy it and it's like fun for them and they don't mean anything by it.
Jealous.
But of course they want to be with you.
They're jealous of these unicorn tears.
Ew. No one's jealous of that. No one's even jealous of that sentence that you just said.
Well, the ones that get me and I'm there with you. Okay. Well, a renowned Australian matchmaker revealed these six signs your partner resents you and says a lot of us are unaware of them, which is interesting.
That sounds like you, like you're unaware. Like you could be unaware. Well, you just said you were unaware.
Well, no. So these people wanted to be with me and they would poke fun at me.
Yeah.
But then the relationships that did end were definitely the relationships where affection diminished, the sex diminished. I mean,
yes,
those are the
signs. That's a big one. That's
those
a
are
big
the signs.
One.
I think the passive aggressive things, making fun of you in front of also friends.
Yeah.
How many of us have been in that situation where you're with your partner, he's kind of poking fun at you in front of your friends, and then they leave, and then your
Ooh.
Friends are like, I just noticed, like, I don't like how he treats you.
See, yeah,
or that person
should
treats
never
you.
Happen. If my partner is making fun of me in front of my friends, and it's not like it's coming off like very like, oh, whoa, like you can read the room and everyone else
uh-huh.
is uncomfortable by
it's
it.
It's awkward.
That is when that is like it's completely done because no one, your partner shouldn't want to embarrass you. Now, if they're like having like a little fun with you and everyone senses that, then that's different. But I think it's also something to say about when the sex declines. I think. It could also be maybe there's something kind of not like they're like hating you, but maybe there's something going on that is just like maybe with their own personal body. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just depends. There's so many layers. Yeah, there's
to
layers
it.
To it.
Well, according to the psychologist and relationship mentor, Yvonne Allen, actually, those who are jealous or angry at their other half, they don't verbalize their feelings. So it comes out in these other ways, which would make sense, right? So if you don't know how to communicate or be transparent about what you're feeling, it's going to bubble up and come out in like really weird ways. They said many people in relationships are actually unaware their partner is feeling resentful towards them, which is interesting because it shows how like you could be in a relationship for a long time or be super close and not know what's going on the other side. And they also say if this is not addressed, it usually manifests in signs which are likely to result in unpleasant behavior, frustration, and even fights. So if you're fighting with your partner, it might not mean like, yeah, it means your relationship is possibly ending, but it also means...
But
it also means like there's other stuff going on they're not bringing up, so they're just like poking at you constantly.
Are you good at picking up at those cues?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like typically after working on myself, I realize if someone's like constantly doing that, like what is going on?
Yeah.
Because it can be maybe me,
but
not always.
What if it's not necessarily the picking at you part?
Like
take that away. Maybe there's other actions that they're doing that are just like, maybe they're like ignoring you or they're just like not, like you said, not showing the affection. Are you good at picking up at those type of signs?
Yeah, because I need attention.
Ding,
so,
ding, ding.
These are the clues that your partner might resent you and the relationship might be over. Okay.
All right, here we go.
They become argumentative if they're suddenly picking fights when you were previously happy.
Oh, I like
so
doing that.
So arguing over small things, like really.
But sometimes who doesn't just like to argue because you know there's makeup sex?
All right,
I've done that before where I've just created an argument and I didn't care, but I just really wanted to have sex.
That can get old though.
But you don't do it all the time. You just do it every 6 months.
This is consistent. We're not talking about 6 months.
I'm just saying.
Here. So they stop showing affection, which we talked about. They make fun of you. This is the thing that also can, it could be fun until it's not fun. The making fun of you. It's like the joke is getting old. They seem to enjoy it. This is really evil. They seem to enjoy it when things go wrong for you.
You should just leave them by that point.
Right?
That you should even, it shouldn't even be, have gotten to that point. You should just be already like, all right, bye.
Yeah. And finally, And we talked about
like
this.
Like celebrating you getting fired.
Yeah, no,
do
it's
you
like,
want a shot?
Yeah.
Babes?
Yeah, let's party. Right? What? Your dreams aren't coming true?
I love that.
Mine are.
That's like some Harley Quinn and Joker type ish.
They withdraw from physical intimacy and they become passive aggressive, which is, you know, it can be displayed through procrastinating, expressing, as they say, sullenness or acting stubborn.
I hate passive aggressive people.
Yeah.
They are the worst humans.
So just beware of these signs as you approach your current relationship or your next relationship. And that was
well, I'm going to be single for the rest of my life, so I don't have any time. I mean, I might be dealing with them like me adding myself, like just being passive aggressive to my own needs, but
okay, that's what social media is for. Now, a video is being shared on social media that's going viral involving both conservatives and progressives in the LGBTQ plus community talking about politics and the election. Coming up, we're looking at how and if it's possible for both sides to come together in time for the 2020 elections.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
Ooh, honey, we are back. Sorry, I got just jumped the gun because I'm very excited about this next topic that we're about to get into. So there was an amazing video from Vice where they had this great panel and that was discussing conservative LGBTQ members and progressives. And they were kind of talking to them about kind of what was going on in the political climate and also in under the umbrella of being LGBTQ plus and what that really looks like and the divide that really kind of happens in our community. And with this, you know, Vice's goal was to foster conversations that are already kind of happening within our community. And with this format, they were like willing to, they wanted to hope to give the viewer a rare opportunity to witness a conversation with people across the aisle that they otherwise might never find themselves in. So from this video, I was really thinking about, we were thinking about here, can conservatives and progressives in the LGBTQ community come together in time for the 2020 elections? And really what that looks like, how do you agree on things that maybe both sides, even in our own community, are not willing to touch on? And so joining us is, of course, our fave, Jared Hill from Drop the Subject, pop culture and political journalist.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having me.
So let's just jump right in, guys, because I think it's important where they automatically kicked off talking about kind of like identity politics. And it also brought up this awesome conversation about privilege. And here is one of the panelists and like kind of bringing it into the conversation.
The Democratic Party and liberalism is I am so fed up with identity politics. I am so fed up with political correctness. I am so fed up with all of, and everyone here has already said it, it's lack of policy, all identity. And that's what he is. I mean, he's just a gay man with no ideas.
Okay. I hate when a lot of conservative folks, well, not even just conservative folks, it's usually just white men across the aisle talk about identity
politics. I knew that was coming.
Because it's all identity politics, right? Like, you all have been moving through the world with your lens as a white man, privileged in many different ways, and that informs your politics. I do have privilege. I have never said that I'm not privileged. I think we all have the capacity
to oppress and be an oppressor.
But I don't have white privilege, right? So that's exactly what we're talking about, right? I also don't have cis privilege, and I don't have your privilege as a man.
So coming out of this, which seems very heated in this, I want to know, Jared, one, your perspective in all of this and after hearing that.
So this is a long clip, and like he goes on to say, like, well, you don't know my life, you don't know my experience.
This is a white gay guy with a Make America Great Again hat.
Yes.
Right.
For context, absolutely. And he's like,
and that's what was interesting about this.
Yes.
And he's talking to a black trans woman. And so like I love that like she mentions privilege and he immediately says, well, you have privilege, as if like that just equalizes everything, right?
Right, right.
Because there are a lot of white gay people who feel like being gay puts them on the same plane as being black.
Right.
Like, their oppression is the same.
And they feel like we're both marginalized.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, sis, that is not how that works.
Yes.
Right, because I get two of these, right?
Yeah.
I'm black and I'm gay. So, but like he says, you don't know my experience. And I thought this was such a great place for like a pause to be able to explain like, privilege is not about your experience, right? Privilege is not about where you grew up or how much money you had. And I thought it was really important to point out like what privilege means, right? There's a definition of the word privilege that I feel like people need to really pay attention to. Like, privilege is not about how much money you had, or privilege is not about like where you came from. The first definition, if you go to dictionary.com, the first definition is a right, immunity, or benefit enjoyed only by a person beyond the advantages of most. The second one says a special right, immunity, or exemption granted to persons in authority or office to free them from certain obligations or liabilities.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about how much money you had. It's not about if your parents were rich or if you had an inheritance or a trust fund. It's about your white body getting to walk around in the world comes with a set of privilege that I will never have access to.
Saying, yeah, before I even talk to you or know about your story, I see you as X, and what does that mean?
Exactly.
So what? Let's play, devil's advocate here, because the idea, I feel like, and a lot of times conservatives are saying identity politics are really kind of what are overshadowing
sure.
a lot of this. There's no policies kind of being bought up. It's just identity this. It's like just for yourself personally. What do you have to say to that? And is that do we believe here that is that a fair assessment of the current situation?
The way that rings in my ears, and I can only speak from my own experience. When I hear someone saying like identity politics are bad or stupid or whatever, it's kind of like hearing white people say to me like conversation about race doesn't matter or racism isn't a thing, or I'm so tired of hearing about racism. It's like, yeah, I'm tired of hearing about racism too, but I'm also even more tired of living it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like when I hear that, it's like, yeah, identity politics are more and more important to people because politics is very personal.
Yeah.
Politics has everything to do with your life and where you come from and how you experience the world. And now that white people and particularly like cis white men, right, cis het white men, now that they're being challenged on that, it's like, well, what are we talking about? And there's a defensiveness. And I always love to quote this meme that said, when you're used to privilege, equality feels like oppression. When you're used to being
powerful.
On the top, having to be on the level playing field with everyone else feels like you're being oppressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people can get very defensive, which is like, call yourself out for that. Like,
sure.
Why is this a trigger for you? And then I think it's like taking human rights and being human outside of policy. How is that? They work together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess even to you, Shira, because I obviously you do a lot of work, here, and you're part of this amazing this show and all this stuff, and you just are great.
Thanks.
But when it comes to, have you ever felt your own personal kind of like triggers where you've had to work through certain things where you're like, well, why am I feeling like this? Especially if it comes to jobs or, everything, jobs or just people in general calling you out about things. Have you ever felt like that?
Yeah, and we've talked about this a lot because we're going through an interesting time where we get to connect and have these conversations, but there's safe spaces to do that. And there's some people that are still legitimately
sure.
throwing you in this place where they're like, all white people might think this. So this is the typical conversation I have with someone like you.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you have to deal with that too. And being okay with that on my end as well. So it can get complicated, but that's where I get to listen and not take it personally and just be there to provide a safe space and compassion and empathy from the other side.
Okay, I want to put a pin right there because we got to go on break,
yes.
But we're going to come right back into this and jump right back into this. Don't you go anywhere. I saw you trying to touch that dial, by the way. Don't you touch it. We'll be right back.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
We are in our Let's Go There topic of the day where we're discussing this amazing video that's coming out of Vice, where it's showcasing a diverse group of progressive and conservative members of the LGBTQ community to discuss topics that relate to queerness and its intersection with culture and politics. Now, before we got off the break, I had asked Shira if she kind of ever dealt, especially as a straight ally and someone that works closely and comes from Canada, where race isn't as huge, there really as much.
No, there's racism. It's just
not as much as like the United States. I don't feel like
the story is different.
The story is different, but I think it's interesting, and I kind of posed it. Have you ever felt that kind of, that weird, the guilt when it comes to having topics when people talk about race, or are you like willing to not go there in some sorts when talking about it? Do you feel uncomfortable?
I feel I've been fortunate enough to have friends like you where you create a safe space for me, as I mentioned before. But then we've also talked about other spaces where I thought like, the same conversations I could have with other people that we have. And then you were like, no, not everyone is ready to go there with you. Right?
Shira has showed up to be a full on like Marianne Wilson. Now look here, girl.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, Shira, you can't just
go
into the,
in there,
like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. You can't be talking like that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, people are probably thinking that of me. Yeah. And then, of course, I back up and I'm like, oh no. And then I feel bad asking Ryan, I mean, like, what did you think of this? And he's just like, what am I? Just like that go-to gay black friend of yours? And I'm like, well, you.
Yes.
I'm like, you are like.
Damn
but
it.
The thing is like we.
But can't that be exhausting sometimes when you are that go-to?
Yeah, it is. But like, what, like at the same time, if we want to have these conversations, if not everyone's gonna be open to it, who are we all supposed to go to, right? And like, that's a real thing.
Well, I think it's always important to remember. I believe there's two schools of thought. So like, there are black and brown and other marginalized people who and women who will say like, don't come ask me all of your questions about being my marginalized community. I don't have to unpack my trauma to educate you. And then there are other people who will say, ask me every question, no matter how dumb you feel it is, because I would rather you ask me questions. And like, and both of those schools of thought are right.
Yeah.
Both of them are completely valid. And like, I shouldn't have to unpack my trauma, or I'm happy to do that for you. Like, I'm a person who's like, ask me the questions.
For sure.
But both people are right in that situation.
Yeah.
So, moving on, well, because I know we have a short amount of time left. I want to try to just ask you guys this question, because this was kind of brought up, and maybe more so to Jared. It was a question where we're saying, do you feel represented by the acronym LGBTQIA? Like, do you feel like you are represented in that acronym of our community?
Yeah. I mean, I identify as a black gay man, and I do feel like, you know, I'm the G in there, right?
Yeah,
so, like, I mean, and I do feel represented in that in some degree, but I do feel like, you know, there's a lot of division within the community. And the first question that you posed was, you know, will we all be able to come together by the election? And I actually, I kind of disagree with the premise of that question. Mm-hmm. I feel like we shouldn't have to necessarily all agree on topics or on our politics. Being gay is inherently political. Being black is inherently political. Being a woman, being, you know, trans, whatever it is all inherently political. But that politics is unique and specific to each person. So I don't think we all are going to agree. And I think that's good. I think that we're not monolithic. So it's important to be able to kind of vote along the lines that make sense for you.
I have a question. After watching the video, I guess, what did you learn about people in the community, LGBT plus community, that are Republicans and their thought process?
That not all skin folk are kin folk.
Well,
there was
that part,
there was a black gay conservative on the board and on the panel that was talking a lot about, and he even had receipts when it came to the conversation about the Central Park Five and how Donald Trump isn't a racist, and there's this narrative that's going around him. And for me, it just really shows that when it comes to, you know, someone that is the same color as me, doesn't necessarily mean, and even has the same intersections as
he
me.
He can be black, he can be gay, he can come from the South,
yeah,
he can have all those things.
Does not mean we're going to agree and see things in the eye of, in the way that I guess we both perspectively think that we're supposed to see them. It can be completely two different things. But for me, it felt unfortunate kind of seeing a lot of conservative gay people on that panel where they didn't see the issues. It's like it felt like they were actually trying to ignore the real issues to just say, I'm make America great again.
Yeah.
There was a trans woman who's Republican too, and like, how do you think she justify the fact that there are these trans bans or like rights being pulled? Did she not care?
So they never addressed that question.
Right.
She never addressed that question in the edit of the video. And I do want to say, like, the folks at Vice do such an excellent job of, like, pulling together all kinds of different perspectives. But I had a challenge with, like, the idea that Donald Trump is great for the LGBTQ community. I'm like, you know, my follow-up question with Donald Trump stories is always, like, based on what? Like, based on what has he done for trans people? What has he done for gay people or lesbians or anyone else under the umbrella? Like, I can't point to a single thing that he's done that's been helpful to the community.
Yeah,
so,
we're going
to
look at the data.
Exactly. You know how I am. Like, what facts comport with that? Because I can't find any.
All right. Well, definitely check out the video. We'll post a link of it on wearechannelq.com. You can find the Let's Go There page for that.
For sure, darling.
Jarrett Hill, Drop the Subject with Ali. Listen to him
every day. Every day. We're on from 10 to 2 Pacific time. That's 1 to 5 Eastern.
So. Awesome. Thanks for being here for this convo.
We love your insight.
Thank you.
We've got what's trending in the news top of the hour after this, including Lady Gaga's new foray in the beauty world. Don't go anywhere.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
It's time for what's trending in the news top of the hour. Gay World War II codebreaker Alan Turing is going to be the face of Britain's 50-pound note. So that's very cool. We want to bring that up. Some history today. Turing helped decode the Germans' Enigma communication device and helped turn the tide of World War II against the Nazis. He was also instrumental in the early days of computing, and he's often referred to as not only the father of computer science, but artificial intelligence. His Turing test helped determine the intelligence of machines. I'm always amazed at that. Like, people that built those things.
Yeah.
Like, what the... I don't even know.
I mean, just being smarter than us.
Yeah, and his his achievements during the war were mostly dismissed when officials discovered he was gay and had an affair with a young man. He was convicted of gross indecency in 1952 and subjected to chemical castration. 2 years later, Turing was dead at 41 after poisoning himself. And in recent years, there has been an explosion of interest and appreciation in his work. So now he is the face of Britain's 50-pound note.
Cute. Yeah. Come on. I love a history lesson.
Exactly. Now, Lady Gaga's brand new beauty line is available for pre-order starting today. House Laboratories is shoppable exclusively on Amazon. It's HAUS. So it's fitting that it's part of also 2019 Prime Day. And shoppers are getting first dibs on the goods. Everything will ship, though, in September when the beauty brand officially launches. Now, the 33-year-old pop icon's products are all priced under $50. That's pretty good, with six different house collections, each of which includes an all-over shimmer powder lip liner, lip gloss, and has the name House of Goddess or House or of Metalhead, clocking in at $49. So her way of getting into the makeup game, we've seen the Kardashians kill it. So Lady Gaga wants some of that.
I mean, not just Kardashians. Rihanna's doing
Rihanna,
a little bit better.
About
She's
Rihanna.
Actually the top of that, in my opinion. I think the Kardashians, well, Kylie is doing the beauty stuff,
yeah.
But I think Rihanna's like really like honing in on it. It'll be interesting to see what Lady Gaga's doing. I'm all about her, and it's really cool that she's doing it on with this Amazon Prime Day stuff. So shout out to her. Make that money, honey.
Yeah, let me some Gaga. That was what's trending in the news top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. And now we're going to get into the story of this topless sunbather who was at a beach and sparked a debate about nudity. Because how dare a woman go topless? Even though we say free the nipple, it's not always the case.
Well, I mean, yeah, even yeah, I guess it's true. Freeing the nipple, that whole thing is like which I haven't heard of in a very long time.
I hear about it every day. I actually was talking about it yesterday. Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah, last night. Oh God. I had a conversation about boobs and how I was going to start an Instagram account called Spirit Boobs.
Spirit boobs?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
What are spirit boobs?
It was going to just be cleavage with a crystal in the middle of it. And then it was going to start a whole movement. These are conversations you have when you smoked a bit too much weed.
Oh my God. But no, I think it's always interesting to go back to that spirit boobs. But I think it's interesting to the kind of the double standards that really come across when it comes to the topless conversation at beaches. Like if women want to be topless or if it's like even breastfeeding a woman, if people find that to be inappropriate and things like that. So I don't know really where I lie on this conversation because I feel like people should be nude if they want to.
Well,
but
yeah.
If it shouldn't be like inappropriate, of course.
The bigger issue for me is like if you go anywhere else in the world, being topless is not a big deal. And I'm just wondering if the way we look at that here in the US like ends up making us sexualize things more and then just contributes to how we look at our bodies and sexuality and everything.
So let's get into this story a little bit. So this whole Minnesota woman, right, is like happening and she's sparking this whole debate about the state's definition of nudity after being approached by police for sunbathing topless on a local beach. Now, I feel like I know every woman that I know in my life, they'd sunbathe with their top off. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, they do it usually in private. A lot of times, including in the U.S., it's more rare to do it here, unless it's at an actual nude beach.
Maybe I'm thinking of sunbathing as being like, because I think I've seen just women, like when they're tanning their backs, obviously their bras are off.
No, it's not the back version. It's not like where you put your chest on your towel and your back's open. That's not considered topless. It's when you're on your back and you're topless.
Oh, no, I don't think I would have a problem with that. I mean, honestly, I feel like if you have a problem with it, if you try to, I think it goes back into the whole sexualization of everything.
Well, yeah, and a lot of this woman specifically, she was told to put her top on because a family felt very uncomfortable that she was topless in front of the children. And so, yeah, why would it be uncomfortable for children to see someone topless unless we're setting up and creating the society where it's wrong,
yeah,
right, to be topless?
I mean, and just in general, I think, I will say this, like, it's one thing about, especially I remember specifically when I was growing up, like, my mom was very comfortable around the house of being, like, you know, topless and stuff like that. I always, like, felt, even my grandmother, I always felt like, not, it was, yeah, it was a little uncomfortable for me. I was just like, why? Like, are you, but also, I knew from a very young age I was gay, so I didn't really care. And it was just one of those things, though, I can see why people deem it, like, uncomfortable. Like, it's just like, oh, you just have your bits and stuff all out, your boobs are out.
Well,
but
yeah.
And it's like, especially if it's a public beach and it's not specifically a nude beach, I can see like, okay, why are you doing that, you know, around everyone, especially when you could go, beaches are huge, you can go to kind of a private area and do it there.
But the thing is, like, the nude beaches are for everything. I think it's this idea that topless maybe isn't considered nude, or we shouldn't be looking at topless as being nude. It's just showing your chest. It just happens that women have bigger versions of what a man has.
Yeah.
And so if a man's able to show his nipples, and that's the whole premise of the Free the Nipple movement,
yeah,
then a woman should be able to show her nipples. Well, after this, the debate continues, and it actually leads us to our question of the day. Should nudity at a beach be illegal, and where should the line be drawn? We want to hear from you. Give us a call right now. 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
We are continuing with our question of the day right now. Should nudity at a beach be illegal, and where should the line be drawn? Our number again is 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. Now, this comes from news that a Minnesota woman was basically told to put her bathing suit back on after she was sunbathing topless in Minnesota. And it's bringing up this question of, like, what's appropriate and not appropriate at the beach. You might say it's illegal, but actually there are laws that make it legal to be doing this. So it might be making you uncomfortable, but it's legal to do it.
I mean, yeah, of course. It is legal in places when it comes... Are you talking about legal in places like, obviously, if it's a nude beach, it's legal?
No, in regular beaches even. According to the state statutes on indecent exposure, this is specifically Minnesota, they talked about a person is in violation when he or she willfully and lewdly exposes the person's body or the private parts thereof. So there's actually a loophole there. It's an ambiguous law regarding women going topless in public. And there's actually a site... I could not believe this. This site called Go Topless.
Okay.
And they look at equality through the lens of topless laws.
Well, I mean, there is such a
There's a site for everything.
There is literally such a double standard when it comes to men being able to just go anywhere topless.
Yeah.
And if a woman does it, it's looked at, like, you know, very downplayed. It's that double-edged sword. It's unfortunate. But we asked this, our question of the day to you guys on social media, which is, should nudity at a beach be illegal? Where should the line be drawn? Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts at 833-772-2557, 833-772-2557.
So I was going to say, the other states, you might not realize this, where toplessness is permitted: New York, North Carolina, Wyoming, Oregon, and California. Actually surprised about the North Carolina one.
Well, everyone on social media is, like, going crazy. They are actually, we have a lot of responses, and they are feeling a little bit mixed
about
this.
All right, want to hear.
Someone said, Denise says, nudity is natural. Why teach children that nudity is wrong? Sex on a public beach, big no-no, but nudity, treat it like anything you don't like, don't look. Well, Beta, on the other hand, said, yeah, it should. That crap is disturbing. You do whatever you want in the water, but as soon as you come out, you put something on. Oh, so you can go into the water naked.
I mean, it's you could say, if you
don't want no salt water up in my crevices, that don't feel comfortable.
I mean, it's going there anyway. You just have a piece of material in between you and that water.
That's true. That's
true. Come on. No, but in the end, if you go, yeah, naked in the water, I mean, there could be laws against it, but if no one's seeing you, did it happen?
And See, I can't say that. Anyway, because I was like thinking, well, like, I don't want to go. What if you're in the ocean or something and like there's just dangling parts and then there's animals in there? I get afraid of stuff like that. At least when you're covered up, they don't see the dangling parts. But like when you're like.
It's all natural, baby.
I know, but you don't want no animal, no fish coming up and grabbing stuff they ain't supposed to be grabbing. Okay, so what else said there? Are nude beaches for a cause, so anywhere else you're off limits. And please don't at me with all the feminist BS. You know how men are. Someone says, in theory, I like the idea of all beaches be clothing optional. But if all beaches were nude beaches, it would create a legal nightmare when dealing with public exposure cases. Well, the beach technically begin? Okay. Would traveling to the beach nude be legal?
Oh, in your car? No, because it's a nude beach. You're
First of all, what you
car.
In your car? you're naked in your car for?
So, listen, just because we're the topless thing versus the full nude thing, I believe that full nude beaches should be full nude beaches. But I believe at this point, toplessness should be welcomed and okay on regular beaches. It shouldn't be a big deal. But, like, you know, even on the site Quora, someone says the reason why maybe people are uncomfortable or it's illegal is because Americans have an obsession with breasts. Women, as a rule, will not take the top off on a public beach, this person says, because of the stigma attached to it. And in most cases, the legal sanctions against it. So, and then, of course, there's a whole movement of people that want to free the nipple and don't care what other people think. But there is the stigma. Like, I've thought about it if I ever wanted to, you know, do the nude thing with friends or late night and all that. And I've thought about, are people going to look, or is it more my uncomfortability with myself?
That is true.
Like, and who cares?
For me, I don't think I would ever go to a full on nude beach. I just don't think it's my scene. But I think, just like Meg on Twitter actually said, we are trying to cue, I definitely think that both sexes should be allowed to go topless at any beach if they feel comfortable. But as for full nudity, I think that needs to be done somewhere completely separate.
Yeah.
And I honestly agree.
I just think that we see it in other places, specifically Europe. When I went to Europe when I was 16, it was my first experience of the topless beaches.
Yeah.
Or just that it was normal. And
it was just topless. It wasn't nude, like full nudity.
Yeah, it was just topless. Yeah. And maybe some places, but it became such a norm. And I do wonder if we implemented that here in the U.S., it wouldn't be such a big deal. Like, it wouldn't be, people wouldn't be like staring at your cleavage, just staring up and down because they haven't seen it. It becomes this thing they haven't seen and can't get to.
Well, yeah, it's more sexualized. It takes the desexualization out of it.
Well, that was our cue of the day, and we have Dr. Chris coming up in a bit, who I'm sure has something to say about nudity at beaches and beyond. But for now, we've got Yaz Queen of the Day after this. A dad's tattoo for his gay daughter is going viral, and we are honoring him today.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
Before we get into our Yaz Queen of the Day, we actually have a caller around our cue of the day. Again, the question of the day is, should nudity at a beach be illegal? And where should the line be drawn? You can give us a call right now too. 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557 to give us your take.
Yeah, so actually we have Tom from West Hollywood on the line. What are your thoughts about our cue of day?
Hi, guys. Well, first of all, let me say I love your show. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy someone does.
So I think the line of total nudity, I think everybody can agree that that's out of the question. But then the other point of, you know, why not treat men and women equally?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question of the universe.
So, yeah. So, you know, you can have bikinis that are arbitrarily, you know, skinny and revealing. So, like, where are we afraid to just? What are we afraid of seeing?
Yeah,
it's the nipple, right? But you can see a man's nipple, and that's no problem.
Yeah, I mean, look at those butt. There's booty, like the swimsuits. You're basically wearing thongs at this point. So I think we're getting there. Like, in the past, I remember 10 years ago, I would never wear one of those, including in front of my parents. God, like wearing those Brazilian bikinis. Now it's normal, I feel. So why not just continue? If we want to go topless, go topless.
But I want to pose a question to you guys. Do you feel like is it just the topless debate, or do you think it also has to deal with people policing how bodies look? Because a lot of times people don't want to see everyone's bodies because they might not look the certain standard that society wants us to look, you know, like they might not be the best body, like in shape and all these things.
Well, that goes you know, for everybody at the beach, you know. You don't want to take your shirt off. Well, then don't take, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with it, you don't take your top off. You don't feel comfortable with it. But people aren't going around judging men on their bodies as much as I think as they do women.
Yeah.
So just get over it.
Yeah, and I think also for, let's talk about nice bodies. I think that they're also police because it's like people get jealous. And specifically if this Minnesota story, if your kids are uncomfortable, I think a lot of maybe women, and I've heard this, not all women, but like you could be uncomfortable if your husband's looking at another woman.
Oh.
Right? It's like you see these the topless and butts passing you. So maybe we just need to get all comfortable with ourselves. Anyway.
Well, thank you so much, Tom, for always listening and answering our question of the day.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Great night and day.
I mean, I think that's an interesting point. I know we have to get into our yes queen, but that is a very interesting point that you brought up about the possibility of jealousy kind of being the main motive.
I think that here in the U.S., my experience, because coming from Canada, not that it's that different, but also having traveled in Europe, there is this sense of, I mean, more openness with, sexuality and relationships and being able to, you know, maybe look, maybe I'm generalizing, but, someone could look at someone else. It doesn't mean they're going to cheat on you. They could be just embracing the beauty of someone else. Why is that bad?
I mean, you're right. You're right. I agree. I totally agree. Well, free the nipple.
Yeah, free the nipple and free the minds, baby. All right, it's time for our Yas Queen of the Day.
Yas Queen.
So one teen shared the story of her dad supporting both his gay daughters, and it was just a wonderful beacon of hope on what is looked at as a pretty dark internet and social media. Caitlin Atwell tweeted at the end of June this, "I convinced my dad to get his first tattoo, and he sent me something that my little sister painted." So she went on to share a series of texts between her and her dad, in which he sent a picture of a rainbow lips drawn by her younger sister. And basically they're going back and forth. And basically her dad, Papa Atwell, joined Twitter himself declaring that he's everyone's dad now and that he was going to get these rainbow lips on him tattooed. So like what a beautiful way for a father to embrace his child's, I guess, identity and sexuality.
Well, yeah, I think it's beautiful because you don't hear that story often where parents are very supportive. And so when there's a moment where that happens, I think it's a beautiful time to celebrate.
So this family gets our Yas Queen of the Day.
They sure do, honey. Yas Queen.
Yas Queen.
What the hell? That was scary.
I hated that.
That was
don't
scary.
Don't you ever play. We have a new producer. No, just joking. But no, that was scary.
Hey, at least it's something. We'll take whatever we can get.
No, that was like Darth Vader saying, Yas Queen. I guess for my nerds, my Star Wars nerds, they probably got a kick out of it.
If you want to nominate a Yas Queen or have us highlight someone or a company or anyone doing anything amazing
and
inspiring, just tweet us at @WeAreChannelQ. Now coming up, Dr. Chris is joining us from Loveline, and of course we will definitely be asking him the whole nudity at beach question. And if you still want to answer, you can. Again, our question of the day is, should nudity at a beach be illegal, and where should the line be drawn? Our number is 833-77-CALL-Q.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
Dr. Chris from Loveline is joining us right now as we wrap things up today, and also we got to ask him our question of the day. Should nudity at a beach be illegal, and where should the line be drawn?
Oh, man.
How are you, Dr. Chris?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So what do you think about this?
Well, definitely, you know, boundaries around consent when it comes to touch versus visual have to be different.
Mm-hmm.
We're all forced to visually encounter things we might not want to, but the work is about is about getting more comfortable seeing sexuality and bodies, not moving further away from, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to allow public breastfeeding and things like that. But I like what you brought up. Is it about the regulation of certain types of bodies that we're not comfortable seeing, or is it just about seeing nudity?
Right, right. Because I think there is something there where, especially when we were going through the comments on when people were replying to our question of the day, there were a lot about they're like not wanting to see a certain type of body, or a certain type of body shouldn't even be on the beach. So it's like, it feels like there's a layer about policing bodies and not wanting to see a certain type of body.
I know those remarks happen, but I also see it on the other side with people that are super hot and people being like, okay, yeah, they're hot, but like it's uncomfortable. It still makes me uncomfortable.
So two different conversations.
No, I think they're both valid
they're both
conversations.
Connected. No, but meaning I think they're both
it's not one or the other here.
Yeah, I think that all those conversations are happening. And I think the big thing, and I'm looking on Twitter, is the whole line between nudes and children. Like, and it should be just an adult beach. Like, what are your thoughts of exposing children to nudity?
I'll say this. You know, the problem with early sexuality upon children is a lack of control, not being age appropriate, consent being violated. But in terms of the visual piece, there's no research showing that children seeing naked bodies has had any detrimental effect. In fact, it has a positive effect.
Oh, really?
It helps them have more body confidence and more comfort around diversity.
So I went to a nude beach. This is something that comes up in therapy sometimes. I went to a nude beach.
What, like, therapy? You ain't going to no therapy.
In the past it has. When I was like 5 or 6, like my parents, they got remarried, my stepdad and my mom, and they brought us to a nude beach with my stepbrother and stepsister, and they went nude in front of me. I was 6 maybe at the time. They were in their teens, like late teens, you know, college age, because they're older. And I look at back at that, like, I went and there was a clay beach, and I sculpted a penis. And like, what does that say about me? Do I have like penis on the mind?
Well, no.
For me, that was a bit of trauma, not traumatizing.
Is that the word you want to use? Trauma?
No, okay. I'm misusing it.
Careful with that word.
All right. But it impacted how I look at, I'm just being honest. It impacted, course, like, I feel like it became a joke of like how I look at, like, I don't know, men maybe.
But it also depends on context, right? For a lot of us, that is such a rare occurrence that it can be a little overwhelming.
Yeah, it was rare. About, that's why.
That's the problem. You didn't really know how to put it into words.
I didn't process it.
Correct.
Fascinating.
But what's the difference between just the kids in like grade school that are drawing penises and boobs everywhere? Like, what's the difference?
It's just a normal stage of development.
I think kids curiosity are just at a mature phase of like seeing it and like not being. It's like, oh, girls have cooties and all this. I think it doesn't really mean anything. So I think you sculpting that in the sand, it just feels like any other child that would go up to the board and like, you know, draw out something.
You just debunked my childhood. Thank you. Well, no, I don't need to feel.
You just healed her. By
you just healed me.
Right. Look at what you did.
What do you have coming up on Loveline, Dr. Chris?
Oh, it's funny that you're talking about because we're going to be talking about the Jason Momoa body shaming pieces in the news.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to be talking about quote unquote summer sadness when you are one of those people where the summer and the heat actually depresses you. What are ways to work through that?
That's like seasonal depression in a way, but the other
seasonal affective disorder, but the
other side.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Dr. Chris Loveline right after our show, always Monday through Thursday right here on Channel Q. Now, coming up tomorrow, we have Hear Me Out Tuesdays with our favorite therapist. We're looking at how you navigate different sexual drives in your relationship without feeling bad about yourself or resenting your partner. That's on tomorrow's show. Let's Go There with Sheeran Ryan on the new Channel Q, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
Have a great night. See you tomorrow.